Blog Talk Radio.
Living Out Loud is hosted by Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power? An in-depth study of professional women in a relationship. She is an expert on depression, women's issues, and attaining happiness. Dr. Birnbaum has been featured on Oprah 2020 and some of the biggest TV radio venues in the world. Now, without further ado, here's your host of Living Out Loud, Dr. Frieda Birnbaum.
Welcome, Ryan. Welcome, everyone. Today we have a great show. We will be featuring psychotherapist Amy Morin. And Ryan, do you want to tell us a little bit about her?
Yeah. Amy Morin is a licensed social worker. She's a psychology instructor, a psychotherapist. She's also an incredible author. And she's actually going to join us at the top of the show. She's written a new book called 13 Things That Mentally Strong People Don't Do. So without further ado, please welcome to the program, Ms. Amy Morin. Amy, you're there.
I am. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show. And it's really interesting because we all have dilemmas in our lives and, you know, what do we do about it? And you really have some very important answers and information on how to go through this process. So let's look at some of the things that you personally went through and how you discovered your own strengths. And you went through many different stages of different people, loved ones in your life. So here we're talking about developing mental strength. Were you able to do that for yourself?
You know, it was a combination of things. I was working as a therapist, and when I experienced the loss of my mother, she had died from a brain aneurysm very suddenly and unexpectedly. And, you know, it was a mixture of sort of my education, my training as working as a therapist, and just drawing on my own strengths in life to figure out how do I keep working as a therapist and helping other people with their problems while I'm privately dealing with this grief. And it was about 3 years, actually it was 3 years to the day of when my mother passed away, that my 26-year-old husband died of a heart attack. And again, I was faced with figuring out how do I find the mental strength to keep helping other people with their problems while I'm dealing with this very private issue all on my own. And that's really when my personal interest in mental strength grew and I started figuring out what sorts of things were important to do and what sorts of things were important not to do. And if you fast forward a few more years later, life was looking pretty good. I had just gotten remarried and life was moving forward and I was feeling pretty good. And my father-in-law was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And it was then that I really realized, oh, you know, I knew what was coming. Unlike the death of my mother and my husband that were both very sudden, this time I was faced with knowing that he was going to pass away and knowing I was going to go through all that grief. And it was then that I wrote down my list of the 13 things mentally strong people don't do, because I felt like I could easily feel sorry for myself and I could easily do these things, other things that were on my list that could hold me back from facing it with the courage and the strength that I needed to get through it. And so I knew that it wasn't always just the good habits that we have, but sometimes it's the bad habits that are what holds us back.
It's extremely important for our listeners to know that you can have strength at the end of all this devastation in your life, in one's life. So you say, you know, there's a way to make peace with the past. What would you tell us to do? How do we go in that direction?
Yeah, I think so often we want to go one of two ways. We either want to live in the past because those are where our good memories are, or we want to run away from the past because we have some not-so-good memories. And so there's certainly some skill to figuring out how do you make peace with the past. And for me personally, after going through those losses, I really didn't want to move forward because the past was where my loved ones were still alive. So I felt sort of like a betrayal if I were going to move forward. But the key really is to be able to figure out how do I remember things that used to happen to me with a smile rather than pangs of sadness or torment. And often it's giving ourselves permission to think about the past, but without ruminating on it. There's a big difference between reflecting on the past and ruminating. I think so often people get stuck just thinking and rehashing and wishing that things were different, and it just keeps them stuck in the past. So I think to make mm-hmm. peace with it, we have to be able to look at it, but sort of from a distance, to be able to sort of get rid of some of the emotion that gets stirred up for us and just set limits on how much we're going to just sit around and think about the past.
That's very interesting, and I see that you celebrate your late husband's birthday. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was going to be his 27th birthday a few months after he passed away, and I said to my mother-in-law, what are we going to do that day? I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want to do anything, but at the same time, I thought, what am I going to do, sit around and cry all day and wish he was here? And so she said to me, what do you think about skydiving? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, what if we just took the day and we went skydiving as a family? And I thought, huh, never really thought of that. And since then, that started our annual tradition. And we do all these things every year on his birthday. We've been swimming with sharks and zip lining, and we rode mules into the Grand Canyon, and we've taken flying trapeze lessons. We find this big adventure where we decide we're going to celebrate life, and we're going to honor his memory rather than sit around and feel sorry for ourselves that he's not here. And it's turned it into this wonderful day where the entire family can celebrate his life rather than dwell on the fact that he's not here and feel sorry for ourselves. And it's really turned it into something that we look forward to rather than something that we dread every year.
Well, you're one strong woman, I must tell you. So what do you do today to keep your strength up and to keep this momentum in your life?
You know, I think it's a matter for me of knowing that I have good habits, but also I keep my list of 13 things handy, and I remind myself every day to not do those things. I think when something bad happens, again, I could easily fall into feeling sorry for myself, or I could dwell on the past, but I just need those reminders that I need to avoid the bad habits that could hold me back, that it's not always enough to say just think positive, but sometimes if you have bad habits that hold you back, thinking positive won't get you to where you want to be. And so it's a daily reminder of all the things I need to do, but also a daily reminder of all the things that I shouldn't do that really help me move forward and grow into the person that I want to become.
So how have you grown and moved forward since your last tragedy, with the loss of your husband and your father-in-law? Where have you gone to at this point in your life?
Now, I think I've grown in lots of ways, and of course over the past year is when I wrote this book, and that mm-hmm. it was writing this book too that really sort of gave me the opportunity to sort all this out and to put down on paper some of the things I was feeling, and I think it's given me much more motivation to continue into that direction that I want to do. A lot of it was the same things that I had taught my therapy clients over the years as far as changing their thoughts and changing their behaviors. But writing this book really made it a personal journey for me as a reminder of all the skills that I have that I can and how to apply them to my own life so that I can keep working and challenging myself to become better and growing every day. I know it's not a destination, it's the journey. So to keep working on that every day is something I challenge myself to do.
So what would you tell our viewers, our listeners, the first and most important step to take after the loss of a loved one?
You know, I think that grief and self-pity are two different things, that often it's easy to exaggerate how bad our life is or how terrible it is, or to convince ourselves that we could never be happy again. And so I think to recognize that obviously, while you're going through grief, you need to feel sad and you need to feel angry and to go through those emotions, but to not stay stuck in self-pity. And it's a really hard thing to do, and it's difficult, but to say I'm going to get up and I'm going to build the best life I can for myself despite my circumstances.
Well, it's you've given us a wonderful view of coping, and thank you very much, Amy Morin. Your website is Amy Morin, LCSW.com. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
Wow. Frida, that was a fascinating interview.
Fascinating about it?
No, I thought it was pretty amazing. I thought it was pretty amazing that, you know, you're talking about these things, about overcoming these incredible life trials and tribulations, and somebody who could actually lose a husband and want to look forward. I mean, you can imagine the excessive trauma that you experienced during that things. When you see your patients, do you have some people who are dealing with an excessive amount of grief, or they're inconsolable over their, you know, loss of a loved one?
Ryan, are you speaking to me or to Amy?
Yeah, I'm speaking directly to you.
To me. Okay.
Amy. Yeah.
Who are you speaking to?
I was speaking to you. Amy is off. Yeah, Amy is.
Okay. Well,
Amy's
I wanted to make sure. Well, the question about having a practice and consoling someone who lost a loved one, you know, it's difficult because we are told we are going to get over it, and the pressure of being okay gets in the way of mourning. People are uncomfortable. If they see you, they want to either avoid it or know that you're okay. The best thing to do is just say, I'm sorry at your loss. I'm sorry for your pain. And hold on to that and allow that person to go through the mourning process. Another thing to remember is that when we have time behind us and we are able to have some distance, that is something that could help but does not always help in a way that people expect, because that loss always keeps coming back. And at times it's even gratifying to remember that other person. So we do have this wrong overview of what the a mourner is going through the death process, and just to let that person go in their own, on their own place, in their own way, and have a reality for themselves, and when they're ready to be able to join in, and when they need to talk about it, to allow that to happen and to give that person that kind of space is extremely important.
Okay. Some of the other things we discussed earlier this week was about, you talked about the benefits of a female president. What do you think of some of the benefits of a female president would be in the United States?
Well, it'd be great to have a female president. Women today are in politics, they're strong, they're independent, and they have a very strong message to give. And, you know, my research has also shown that when you have a high-status career, or women who are visible in politics, that trickles down into the relationship as well, that they are viewed as stronger people who can make decisions, financial, social, all across the board, and both male and female are happier when that happens. So having a woman as president would be wonderful. Having Hillary Clinton as our president, that's questionable, only because when you are in that kind of political arena, you have to develop a history of yourself. And Hillary does not have a complete history of who she is as far as her relationship is concerned. You know, we scrutinize, we're very hard on this individual who is not only someone who stands up for us politically, but who is this person? What kind of life does he represent? It's not a coincidence that presidents have been male, but more so the fact that they're always married and have a family, which shows us that there is stability and that they are well-grounded. Hillary's relationship with Bill is questionable. And for women who have been empowered, this is sending a wrong message, a conflicting message, which means, should you stay in a relationship when a man is unfaithful? Should you go ahead and the whole world is looking at you and not have an opinion over what happened, that you were involved with this and that you're staying? Is it because of political reasons? Is it because of a contract, a verbal contract the two of you have? I'm sure that there was discomfort, to say the least, when Monica Lewinsky was involved. None of this is expressed, but women who are successful are looking at Hillary and also looking at this other part of her as well. After all, men have been scrutinized when Gary Hart had this young woman on his lap. Scandalous, and it was debated upon. So the message that Hillary may be giving is the wrong message, that women should be running away. Well, that used to happen, standards, but those double standards no longer exist. And this message needs to be cleared up for the younger women, younger generations, to know what a woman president stands for so we can trust her. And Hillary Clinton is very strong, but this is an area that needs to be opened up and discussed.
Okay. And coming up on Monday is not only Martin Luther King Day, but it is also your birthday. And you'll be turning 26 years old.
Thanks for reminding me, but that's okay.
26
Absolutely.
Years old.
Now I'm happy.
And coming up, yeah, and then it's Martin Luther King Day. So from your perspective as a research psychologist, what impact did Martin Luther King have on the mental health of millions of Americans?
Well, you know, he was a peaceful person, and he marched for peace. And it's interesting that it's coming at a time when we are trying to maintain peace in our society between the black community. But now there's not this divide between the black and the white community as much as the profiling of the black man in America. So we're looking at this in a different way, but it has become a more peaceful marching. And how would Martin Luther King feel about this? Well, he would definitely support the peacefulness that his community, and now as a white citizen of America, I identify with the black community as well, because we're all together on this. But he would not be happy with what was going on with Michael Brown and Eric Garner, and what happened in the court.
What do you think he would say on this? What do you think he would say about this?
He would say, there is no justice here. These officers need to learn to shoot, to stop, not to shoot, to kill. And why aren't there any new regulations? And why are they getting away? And who is the real criminal? And who should be put behind bars? That's something that he would definitely have a voice on. That is something that we definitely need to look into.
And in your experience with this and observing from a first-hand perspective, how have race relations actually changed, and how have do you think that people in America are mentally more open to the idea of generally accepting others based on, you know, regardless of what their race is, or do you feel that the racism
is kind
of creeping back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you looked at the people who were marching, it was extremely touching, because here we had black and white and all kinds of ethnic groups together. That was the one positive thing that really was visible to all, and that we should really address more often. It's not being acknowledged as much as it should be. So the positive was there as well, but the negative needs to be addressed, needs to be changed. New laws need to come out, and we need to be able to see that supporting one community is like supporting all of the communities. We are all in this together. We are all the same. And so Martin Luther King's birthday comes at a wonderful time. It is a reminder to all of us that we must strive for the best that we can be. And so it's a very significant time for us all.
Okay. And also coming up, we have this holiday, which is going to be Valentine's Day. And I'm sure you work with a lot of people who are experiencing or always looking to find out, you know, try to find love and romance. What do you think is the significance of being alone on Valentine's Day compared to any other day of the year? Is that the most you're finding it from your patients, is that the most depressing day of the year to actually be alone?
Well, they're all depressing, but I have an interest. I have a cute story to tell you about this. My father used to take my mother to the drugstore, and he used to show her a Valentine's card that he picked, and after she looked at it, he'd put it back on the shelf. So that was his way of showing his affection towards her. But you're right, having someone close by, having someone that you care about, a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, is important. And you know, even having a child with you that you can love is equally important. Valentine's Day can be for any kind of relationship, but it is lonely if you are brought to the attention that you're not with someone else, because it's a red flag. It's everyone saying, you know, here is the candy, here's the red heart, and it's the thing to do. And if you don't have the ability to do it with someone, it could absolutely depress you, like all these holidays that are telling us that we should be with someone.
Okay. So do you have any recommendation for people on what they can do about for themselves in order for them to find romantic opportunities?
Well, there are many ways. Yes, there are many ways. One, of course, is the Internet. It's the one that everyone seems to go to today. And also to realize that if you're involved with life, when you're the happiest, that's when things come in and that's when people are interested in you. And it's ironic, when you often feel you're okay because you are feeling complete, that is also when people are more interested in you. So I guess the message is that if you can find a way to fulfill your own needs and not looking for someone else, that second part will be easy, much easier, once you find the healthy part of yourself.
Okay. And do you think that your chances of finding someone are going to be increased substantially if you have the inner peace from within?
I feel that everyone wants to have a relationship with someone who has something to give. And if they see that you have the ability to make a difference in their life, enhance their life, then they will be interested in you, and they will give you back the same. But that's what will attract, and that's what will draw the right person to your life, something that they feel that you can make a difference for them. And that's based on any friendship. It's always like, what do you have for me? After a while, you learn to love that person, and the initial reason drifts and changes into a connection and feeling for that person.
Okay. And Dr. Frieda, we only have a minute left. Where can people learn more about you?
Well, they can learn more about me. I have a website, drfrieda.com. And they could listen to my shows, and they could listen to my interviews and all the other shows if they know where they are. It's hard to keep track. But I think I'm being vague. So I'm around. That's the answer.
Okay. So we can go to drfrieda.com. And on there you can learn more about Dr. Frieda, her upcoming interviews. If you are listening on the dial on Monday, you can hear her on Wood Radio at 9:34 a.m., and then you'll listen to her on WENG Radio at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you happen to be up very early on Monday at 7:08 a.m., you can hear her on WMO Radio in Fort Wayne. She's going to be talking about Martin Luther King, and she'll also be talking about the idea of what would happen if a woman was actually president. So,
sounds good.
Dr. Frieda, we'll be back here next week with another exciting show, and we'd love to have you call in with your questions, concerns, thoughts, and comments.
I'm looking forward to it, and enjoy the weekend and enjoy the Martin Luther King holiday to all my listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Women's advocate, an author, and coming to a bookshelf near you in the near future will be her book called